Session number 26951.
Mr. Lawson, Reel 1. When and where were you born?
I was born in Sunderland on the 16th of November 1920. So that makes me now 82 years old, coming up 83.
Did you have any brothers and sisters?
I have one sister. No brothers, just one sister who's still alive. She's still alive. She's 80. Still lives in Sunderland.
What did your father do for a living?
My father was in the leather trade, boots and shoes leather trade. He started off, I understand, when he was about 12 years old. He lived in the village in Durham, in County Durham. I think it was Langley Moor, I'm not quite sure. But anyway, his father and his brothers and the family all worked down the pit, but he said, no way, I'm not going to. And he started off as an errand boy for the local shoe repairer. And he progressed from there to making shoes, repairing shoes, making shoes, and eventually started to sell shoes, sell boots and shoes, and he retired when he was about 70.
Did your mother work?
To my knowledge, my mother, I can't remember my mother ever working. She was a housewife. As women were expected to be in those days. She was a housewife. I understand that before she was married, she worked during the First World War, worked as a tram conductress. But she never worked since I was born.
Can you describe the area in which you grew up?
I was born in a street of cottages I wasn't born there, but we lived there in the Burnham Road in Sunderland. I was actually born at my grandmother's house, I understand, in Sea Road in Fulwell. Fulwell was a village. The Burnham Road was a street of cottages, which is still there, ran almost parallel with the railway. In Newcastle to Sunderland Railway. It was normal working class area.
Was life comfortable?
In the beginning, I think I couldn't say we were comfortably off, but we got by. But there was a period when my father was out of work for a year, and at that time there was no dole. And we'd moved. Mother and father had moved into a corner shop, General Dealers, in Crozier Street, corner of Crozier Street and Eglinton Street. And that tided us over, but we were pretty, pretty poor in those days. But then things got better. How they got better, I don't know.
Did you have things like annual holidays as a child, do you remember?
Not to my knowledge. No, we were near the seaside, and that was more or less our holidays. I can't remember going regularly on holiday.
What about leisure time as a child? What do you remember doing in your free time?
Well, there was no television in those days. It was more or less making your own enjoyment with the lads and lasses, you know, around the corner end. I used to play all sorts of games and things that kids played in those days. You just had to make your own enjoyment. There was no sitting in front of a computer or sitting in front of a television, because it wasn't. And of course, as far as the radio was concerned, that was your father's domain. Father's pretty strict. I can't remember him ever give me a good hiding. But He only used to have to rustle the paper that he was reading, and we would know that he was he'd get a little bit annoyed. But he was very, very strict. My mother was a lovable woman who used to belt the living daylights out of us, but didn't really matter.
What sort of things would you get into trouble for?
Oh, now then. I don't really know. On one occasion, I remember... we were... lads were kicking the ball about outside the house. And one lad kicked the ball too far. And I told him to go for it, and he said he wasn't. One thing led to another, and got into a fight. And I was wearing a school blazer with the school badge on, and his hand caught the blazer in the pocket and ripped it off. And I had to go on to tell my mother that what had happened. My father left it all to my mother. And I got a real good belting that day. But never mind. You had to do something really serious, but the thing that was impressed on us in those days was to be truthful. If you told the truth, you wouldn't get into trouble. It was the telling of lies that was the most important thing. And that and the discipline of the home, where you had to do as you were told as far as your meals were concerned, as far as getting up was concerned, what time you went to bed. All the usual things that children did in the families lived in those days, you had to abide by the rules that were laid down by your mother and father. And I think it was, you were also taught, of course, the difference between right and wrong. So that if you did something and you knew was wrong, then you went home and said you hadn't done it or whatever, or you got wrong. First of all, you got wrong for telling a lie. Then you got wrong for doing what you had done. But it was the instilling of discipline and respect for other people that was the basis of my life. And that, I think, is what is very, very much lacking in these days. I think if children of the today were more had more discipline in the home, had more respect for their parents, and knew the difference from right and wrong, the world would be a better place. Unfortunately, children these days seem to do what they want. They've got everything they want. Everything they ask for, their parents seem to give them. And I think that is quite wrong.
Was there an important role for the church growing up?
The church, mother and father, were never church-going people. But they packed me and my sister off to the Methodist church. It was just just a few streets away. And we used to have to go to the Hood Street Methodists and on a Sunday afternoon to Sunday school, and then eventually, I didn't join the choir, but I used to go to, I think the Brotherhood, but that lasted until I went in the army, and until I went in the army, but then it just dropped off. I'm now not a religious person. I have my own standard of living, which I consider as near religion as what we get.
How old were you when you started school?
School, I'm told that I was about 4 and a half, I think. Went to rugby infant school. We went through infants into the junior school. When I was 11, probably about 9 or 10, but never mind, round about 11-year-old. I went in the junior school. Then, when I was 11-year-old, oh, now then, just hold on a bit, I've got to go back a bit, It must have been earlier than 11 because I went in the. It was 11 year old when I took what was called in those days the secondary exam. It was to send you to a secondary, what was called a secondary school or a grammar school. There was only one grammar school in Sunderland in those days. That was the Bede Grammar School. But there was another central school, and that's the one I went to, Munkwemo Central School, and that was when I was 11. I left school when I was, let's say now, probably 15 or 16. The headmaster wanted me to take what was then called a matriculation exam to go to Durham University. And this was entirely voluntary, whether you took this exam or not. It wasn't compulsory. And I told my father, and he said, no. He said, you've had enough of school. You go out and get yourself a job.
What did you think of the education that you got?
Oh, very good. Very good. By today's standards, I would say that it was basic. But being basic meant that you learnt the correct things. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. The three R's were the main subjects, obviously, but the education I had, I consider, was good. The teachers were very, very strict. There was a corporal punishment in the schools. The teachers had the cane. Not very many of them used it. And strangely enough, the ones that didn't use it were the ones that were most respected. They could control you. But I reckon that I had a good education.
Did you yourself get the cane?
Beg pardon?
Did you yourself get the cane?
Oh, yes, everybody did. But you didn't go home and tell your mum and dad. I did once, went home and told my mum I had the cane. She gave us another good hiding. I said, what's that for? She said, you must have done something wrong, else you wouldn't have got the cane.
How did you get on with your teachers?
These are questions that I can't remember very much about. I think by and large I got on with them reasonably well. I think I was an average child at school. I didn't get into too much trouble, and yet at the same time I was mischievous, the same as everybody else. But I got on with them reasonably well. There was one in particular when I was in the sixth form in the central school that I got on very, very well with. He was a very, very good teacher.
Can you remember his name?
Cecil Foster. He was a great cricket fan. He used to take us for cricket and football. Little anecdote about him. When I first went in his class, I remember him saying to the class in general, now you're all new to me, and you're going to behave yourselves. If you don't behave yourselves, you get punished. And I have something in a cupboard on the other side of the desk there. It's called Excalibur. Excalibur will be taken out of the cupboard and administer punishment to you. You know, I only ever saw that man take that cane out of that cupboard and put it on his desk. I never saw him use it, and yet he was the most respected teacher in the as far as I'm concerned in the school.
What about sport at school? Was that important?
Sport? Football, cricket were the main things, obviously. We all took part in sport. I wasn't terribly good at it. In football, I was a goalkeeper. And in cricket, I used to try and put back the ball and try to bowl a bit. But There was always a sports afternoon. Friday afternoon was always sports of some description. Football, of course, during the winter, and cricket during the summer.
What qualifications did you eventually attain at school?
From school? Let's see now. I don't think that I had any written qualifications at all, except my annual reports. There was nothing like a number of A levels or a number of GCSEs or whatever they are now. I left school, as I said before, I was allowed to matriculate. Now, if I had matriculated, which was a form of exam, a form of entrance exam to university, that would have been different. But I didn't leave school with any basic or written qualifications.
Do you feel that the education you got at school prepared you for your adult life and what came later?
Oh, yes. I think that each pupil had a different idea of what they wanted to be. And they tended then to excel in the subject that they were going to carry on when they left school. I wanted to, strangely enough, when I was in school, I wanted to be a policeman. So to be a policeman, I had to be, I don't know, 19 or 20 in those days. But so I had to do something to tide me between the years of leaving school of 15 or 16 and being a policeman. I don't know why I wanted to be a policeman, but that was it, unfortunately. The war came along and that put the end of that.
You would have to have been so tall as well in those days, I would imagine.
That's right. Well, I think 5'10" was enough to get you onto the force, I think. So what I did, I applied for a job as an office boy in a firm of accountants and got the job. My first wage was 5 shillings less tuppence for the employee's national insurance contribution. So I was actually paid 4 shillings and 10 pence, which I took home to my mother, handed it to her, and she cried her eyes out.
Do you remember the name of your employees?
Yes, it was a firm of accountants in Sunderland called Laverick, Walton and Company. There were 3 partners, and I forget how many clerks there were then, but there was, I think, a couple of qualified accountants as clerks, and there was the managing clerk, of course. I was junior office boy, so I was the last one down the bottom. There was another office boy who was senior office boy, so there was 2 office boys in the office. In those days, every envelope that went out was never typed by the typist. I mean, that was beneath them to type envelope. They only typed letters, so we had to handwrite all the envelopes. And those that were in the near vicinity had to be hand delivered every morning.
When did you start work? What were your hours? Did you work?
Hours now. Let's say I'm pretty sure it was something like 9 to 5. I think it was 9 to 5. We used to have to turn in a little bit earlier as office boys because you had to sort the mail out and do 1 or 2 jobs for when the boss came in. You didn't used to work, didn't work much overtime after 5 o'clock, but when you did, it was mainly clearing up or doing jobs that you were told you had to do before you went home. I think, again, the word respect comes into it again. You respected your seniors. You respected the boss. You respected everybody that was above you, and you got on well with them. I seemed to, anyway. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed working in the office as an office boy.
Any characters there that you remember?
Yep. There was the chap who, a fella called Tommy Williams, who actually was a rugby player and actually played for Sunderland Rugby Club. But he was I think he was a fly half. Not too big. He was tallish, but quite slim build. That man was very, very kind to me. He looked after me and taught me one or two things, and I rather looked up to him. The other chap I remember was a chap called Jimmy Lee, who was one of the clerks, and he became a lifelong friend. He died, unfortunately, some years ago.
What days a week did you work?
Oh, Mondays, five and a half days a week.
Saturday morning?
Oh, yes, Saturday morning. Oh, yes, there's no Saturday morning off. Everybody works five and a half days a week.
How did you get to work?
Now then, excuse me, but I've got a bit of a frog in my throat, and I'll, going to work. We lived in the shop that I was telling you about, and that wasn't very far from Southwick Road, and the trams used to go into town. But you couldn't go direct down Southwick Road into Forster Street. You had to change at the Wheat Chief. Well, the Wheat Chief wasn't very far away, so I walked to the Wheat Chief and then got a tram into the town. Sometimes I used to walk, and when Mum and Dad once, he said, look, I'm going to buy you a bicycle. My goodness, I couldn't believe me, he is. Bought me a bicycle, and I used to cycle to work.
Was there a canteen to work? How did you get your meals?
No canteen. You used to go home for meals. You were allowed an hour lunchtime, and I was able to go home and have my dinner. Mind you, I was rather in and out. Mother used to have me have my dinner on the table. And I would eat my dinner and say cheerio and go out again to get back to work, because there again, they were very, very strict on hours. There was no clocking in at this office, but you know, you had to keep, you had to be a good timekeeper.
Did you get holidays?
Yes. I think at that time it was, I think office boys got a week, 1 week a year. And then as you became, if you went up the ladder, it became a fortnight, 2 weeks. Plus, of course, the usual annual holidays. But they were restricted, of course, starting with New Year's Day, Good Friday, Easter Monday, Whit Monday, August Bank Holiday Monday, and Christmas Day and Boxing Day. That was it.
Was there any trade union?
No, we had, there was no union in the professions in those days.
How did you spend your leisure time?
Well, three nights a week, I used to go to night schools to learn bookkeeping. I was in accountant's office, learn bookkeeping. So that was three nights leisure time. The rest of the leisure time I can't really remember. Again, it was a matter of doing what the lads did, go for a walk, play football, play cricket in the summer, go cycling. I used to cycle a lot. I had a friend that we used to go cycling. I used to go cycling with it at weekends. We were members of the Youth Hostel Association. Difficult to remember any real detail about that part of my life.
What about, were you a member of any organisations such as the Scouts, for example?
No.
Church Lads Brigade, anything
no,
of that nature?
No, none of that at all, no. I just didn't have any feeling for it at all. Some of my friends did. They were members of used to go up the Scouts, but I did. I was never a member of any organisation like that.
How long were you employed there?
Until the war started, and then immediately after the war, that was the only thing I had to go back to. The idea of being a policeman, it just wasn't on, and I went back to them, and that part of my life had probably come out with other questions that you're going to ask. So really, it was from the age of 15 or 16 until 18, when the war started in 1939, and I was 18 in the previous November.
And you'd worked at the same place?
At the same place, yes, but the only job I had during those 3 or 4 years.
Had you been promoted or anything by this time?
Oh, yes, I was a junior clerk. I was a junior clerk when I joined the army, and this is I was moved up from junior office boy to senior office boy to junior clerk, and that was a great promotion.
How much were you being paid at this
time? I really don't know. I don't think it could be much more than £2 a week, something like that.
Did you still give all your money to your mother? Did you get pocket money to live on?
No, I used to give all my money to my mother, and she used to give me pocket money. Excuse me, I'm going to cough again.
What about the outbreak of war? Did you feel that war was coming?
It was pretty obvious that there was going to be a war. And see if I can remember the date. In early 1939, a regiment was formed in Sunderland. A regiment of artillery was formed in Sunderland. And we were called the 74th Field Regiment. This was an artillery regiment which were going to use 4.5 howitzers, which were later superseded by 18 pounders. I went along to the local drill hall with hundreds of others. The response to the call into the Territorial Army in Sunderland was remarkable. And this regiment was formed, 95% Sunderland men. And we did our territorial training, basic training with... We didn't see a gun for a long, long time.
We'll come on to that in a minute.
Yeah.
But the general situation at the time,
yeah.
Did people generally feel that war was imminent?
Oh, yes, I think so.
How did you get your news of what was going on in the world?
The wireless. Yeah, and the newspapers, of course.
But what was the feeling of people in general?
I think in the first instance it was rather a feeling of hoping that there wouldn't be, but there then became a feeling of inevitability that this man, Hitler, had to be conquered. He was doing things which are well documented in history, in Europe, and eventually the Poland situation occurred, and the ultimatum was set, and war was declared.
Had you joined the army before the war was declared?
Well, the Territorial Army, yes.
When did you actually join the Territorial Army?
In early 1939, I think it was probably about January, February.
And even then, there was a feeling that war was coming.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's why I'm sure we went to join the army. You know, we joined the Turtle Army. Almost certain that we were going to go to war.